I set that going and I'll put it by my speakers, so hopefully it will pick us up. But just to introduce you all to what we want to do in this brief recorded podcast, this will be for students on the module Quality of Life, Researching Quality of Life and Dementia Approaches and Methods. And what we'd just like to do is ask you three first, if you could just very briefly introduce yourselves to our students, say who you are, and tell us a little bit about your involvement with the Pathfinders first. So whoever would like to go first.
Yes, I'll be first. My name is Pam Cheetah. And I've been diagnosed by
it's fine, take as long as you need.
Yeah, been diagnosed for about 2016.
Right.
When I was diagnosed. Quality of life is keeping busy.
Mm-hmm.
But I do prefer to do that. I have a few
hobbies.
Few parts of my day that I keep doing
doing things.
Voluntary work.
Yeah.
And so
that's fine.
I'm just keep busy.
Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. Thank you. Next.
Okay, my name's Keith Day. and what is I am? I was diagnosed with FTD 7.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What I've done since then is obviously I get myself very involved with dementia work, and what with the Pathfinders, Alzheimer's, Three Nations. I'm part of the I'm also KMPT envoy. I'm with the Dementia Voices. So, you know, so plenty of things out in that.
Yeah, definitely.
Like Pam said there, you know, I think one of the main things for quality of life is to keep yourself busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's unfortunate there's a lot of people, like our families and such as, what they do, because they don't know much about dementia.
Yeah.
And they automatically get these pictures of an old person sitting in a chair, wrapped up in a blanket, looking out the window, you know, don't know whether it's this week or next week, you know. And this is where the stigma comes in,
yeah.
You know. So we need to educate these people, you know. And as I say, the way I do myself, like I say, I've got all the things that I do, right. Also, I think as long as, for me, quality of life, as long as I can recognise and, you know, and understand people, you know, my loved ones and such as. It's keep doing the things that that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's lots of things that we can do. You know, you can do. You know, a lot of people do crosswords and that sort of thing. Like myself, I like to do a little bit of art and touch art. Yeah. You know, and these are the things that keeps us mobile, if you want. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as I can remember people, I would say I still have a good quality of life. You know, mm-hmm. When the time comes that I can't remember people, right, then I don't particularly want to, but I will be quite prepared to go into a home.
Right. Okay.
To that the pressure out of the family. I say at them, I wouldn't want to do it, but mm-hmm. if that was it, that's what we'd do. You know.
Yeah.
But as long as I can keep myself doing what I'm doing now, recognizing people, doing as much work as I can towards it, then to me, then I've got a good quality of life.
Fantastic. Great. Well, I'm so pleased to hear that. And finally.
And finally, I'm Martin.
Hi, Martin.
I was diagnosed 7.5 years ago with FTD, the same as Keith.
Mm-hmm.
My quality of life is I have two grandchildren. One's, they're both 15. I keep them very active. One more than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
I do follow football regularly with my grandson. And he also does street dance.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, as long as I can do these things and enjoy these things, I will continue to do them.
Great.
I'm also volunteer for HUK, which keeps me very busy. And I also volunteer for KPT. So I, with the work I do for HUK, I can adjust that to KPT.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something coming up that they do, I can tell other people, and that improves my quality of life.
Fantastic.
And the difference being the people I can trust.
Right, well, yeah.
Family and friends. And it's funny how the HUK people also have sons and grandsons that play football as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that keeps me active.
Great, yeah, yeah. So.
And also, my father used to be a referee. So I could see football from a different perspective.
Right.
So I'll watch everything and might discuss later my opinions on whether referees made a mistake or not.
Yeah, God knows there's plenty of those. And now with the whole VAR thing, football seems to take like 110 minutes now. That's fantastic. Well, thanks to all of you for just introducing yourselves. So what we'd like to do for the next sort of 10, 15 minutes or so is just have a chat about this idea of quality of life and what quality of life means for people living with dementia. So I'll start with a very big question. You've sort of already answered it a little bit, but to the three of you, what does quality of life mean to you? You know, if we talk about this idea of quality of life, what do you think that actually means for you?
I mean, for myself, I want people to listen
mm-hmm.
what I have to say.
Yeah.
Like, The thing is, because before I, you know, I'm the same person now, though I've got dementia, mm-hmm. as I was before, right? I'm quite capable of doing lots of things, right? And unfortunately, like talk to you, you get the health professionals and that sometimes, and even our own families, mm-hmm. what we do, they tend to wrap us up in cotton wool. Mm. You know, you can't do this and you can't do that. The thing is, we're quite capable. It may be that we do things a little bit slower. Mm-hmm. You know, we might have to ask for some help sometimes. Right? But you know, the thing is, at the end of the day, right, we're still the same person. And this is this main thing, you know. What can you social, you know, professionals, doctors and doctors, what they need to do is listen mm-hmm. to what we have to say. Right? Give us the time to talk about the how it affects us in different ways and such as. It's no good going to a doctor and getting a 10-minute appointment mm-hmm. and say, oh, that's it, your time's up. It will be a lot easier if you give you like a double appointment or something to give us the time to sit. And because unfortunately, because a lot of things happen to us, right? We might go to the doctor and say, see, we've got three things in our mind, right? And we're only allowed to talk about one, but yet the others still go, it links with it. So it's all about the mental as it is.
Yeah. Now,
you know, so to me, I think for myself, like I say, it's for them, it's listen, make sure that every year, or at least once a year, right, that we have a session mm-hmm. with people, you know, to talk about how the last year has affected us. You know, sometimes, I mean, like myself, I don't feel much different now mm-hmm. to what I did 7.5 years ago.
Right.
Other people might have a different view, but that is it for me, you know. So, yeah, like I say, like to me, for the quality of life, as long as I'm capable of doing all of the things I'm doing now, right, this to me is, I've got some quality.
Great. Yeah.
Okay, that's
yourself, Keith. That's wonderful. And how about the other two? How about yourself, Martin? How about yourself as well?
Well, I feel the same as Keith does. Mm-hmm. If more professionals understood what we're going through, what they might be able to react. Rather than just another appointment.
Right, yeah. And can you, can I ask for perhaps maybe an example of, you sort of talked about this feeling of, for example, wanting to be listened to. Does it ever feel like the sort of the doctors or the other sort of health professionals you might visit, do you ever feel like they're not listening to you?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. I'm going back a while now. I went. It was with my driving license.
Right. Yeah.
I got my yearly license. It came towards the end of the year. I got all the forms from DLA. Filled them up. Got a letter to them to say that, you know, we've now just waiting for your doctors, things. And as it happened, my doctor had taken a new partner on, right? And he split the patient, and I got into this new doctor, right? And when they sent to him, all he said automatically, right, this man is incapable of understanding,
Right.
And that he can't make decisions. So therefore, I lost my licence. I went against it, appealed in such as, I went back to the mental health clinic and did all the tests and that back, the same again. The second time I got a higher score, the second time than what I did the first. Right? And the that particular time it was the what do you call it? Not the psychologist, the
psychiatrist.
Yeah. He what we call it? He didn't want to listen or anything. You know, what do you want me to do? So I said, all I want to do is send a letter to DVLA, and he went, no, if they want me to know that, they'll have to ask me. I said, no, but he says here on the letter, right, that you have to do it. And he went, no, I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And eventually I got I found all my papers and everything. I sent it all back to DVLA myself, explained the situation, and I got a letter back saying that it still stood. And the reply from the psychiatrist was, I'm a psychiatrist, not an examiner.
Right. Right, okay, yeah.
That was it. You know, so to me, he wasn't prepared to listen. I mean, all he had to do is to say, well, I'll tell you what, I can't tell it, but I'm quite happy to send you for a driving assessment.
Yeah.
But no, he wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the things for me, mm-hmm. you know, where they haven't listened. Same as I went back to my own doctor and told him about this thing again, you know. And all he said was, well, I can't go against what my colleague.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry to hear that. And
it's one of them things, you know, it's, you get over it, you know, but it's a blow.
Yeah, yeah.
At the time, you know.
Yeah, we know that going through that experience can be quite devastating for a lot of people, you know, if they have the, you know, their driving license taken away from them, and it is things like that that do have big impacts on people's lives, on the quality of people's lives, what people can do, and you'd need to be kind of carefully managed. And I think the point that you're making about actually engaging with you, listening to you, rather than just taking a very sort of clinician-led approach, let's say, is really important. Do either of you two, as well as Keith, have any examples you might want to share where you felt that things like not being listened to might have happened to you?
I gave a talk a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
to my monthly meeting that I have in Trefoil, quality of life,
mm-hmm.
To our guiders, and they've known me for many years as a brown owl, and right from the beginning, and so a lot of them did not understand what it means.
Mm-hmm.
So they were quite pleased to hear me to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
And I also said, please talk to people that have got this problem,
yeah.
Because they want to talk to you, and they try and avoid talking to us.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I'm hoping that the next meeting I have with them, they will all say hello and talk to me.
Yes, I definitely hope so. That sounds lovely. I'm so glad, you know, that you've had that opportunity to speak to some of the children, the guides about exactly that. I think that's really important. So if I could ask the three of you, you've sort of talked a little bit about this, but what do you feel would improve your quality of life as somebody living with dementia?
If other people understood and knew,
mm-hmm.
and could see things from our perspective. They know ABC, it's like singing a song and singing the wrong words, but it's in the right tune.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Well, to me, it is. To other people, it might not be.
And how about yourselves? What do you feel would improve your quality of life, Keith? And
I mean, for myself, I would say, you know, is let people give me a chance
mm-hmm.
to prove myself. As I said, I mean, it happens. I know that it happened with my wife and touch us. It was, we moved the house and we had some new light fittings, which I've done many times, right? But, oh no, you can't do that. You might blow the face up or something. Because they don't know. But it's unfortunate because what happens as well is a lot of people don't realise that dementia is not just a memory problem.
Yeah, yeah.
There's all the things that goes along with it, all the different, you know, all you're talking, you feel, all the senses, you know. And sometimes you might do something, right, that's out of your norm,
mm-hmm.
right, people think, oh, what's happened with this one? You know, they don't realise that, I mean, like me, I now have problems with hearing properly. And one of the things that I do is when I'm in the house and touch us, I've lost like a visual, what's the word? Visual spacing type of thing, yeah. Right? So I can walk into things,
right.
You know, but people don't realise that it can be part of the dementia as well.
It can, yeah, yeah.
You know, so if instead of just saying, you know, I'm going right back to when I said the first thing, that first impression about the old person sitting that. A lot of people still think that they don't realise that there's so much more, and like see to me is what we call it. There's so much to learn.
Yeah.
You know, and it's I think a good to me a good another way or a dementia a word for dementia for me is frustration.
Yeah.
Right, you know, because people think that you're not capable of doing it. Yeah, we know that we are.
Fantastic. And yourself? I'm really sorry, I've forgotten your first name, so could you just say your first name again for the recording?
Yeah.
You're Keith.
But a lot of people call me, I get the name Cam as well.
Okay, so, fantastic. You know, Keith, yeah. And Martin, and there's Martin and yourself, to the lady. Pam.
Yeah.
Pam, sorry, I do apologise about that. it's not just yourselves, I forget my own name sometimes. so thanks,
yeah.
Pam. And how about yourself, Pam? What do you feel would improve your quality of life?
I I feel that if people would remember what I was like before, and then I haven't changed as a person, so please treat me as you would before.
Fantastic. And can I ask, what can, you've talked a lot about sort of health and social care professionals sometimes not feeling like they're fully listening to you, and I think that's really important. What do you think would be important for people like the doctors that you come into contact? What is important for them to know about your quality of life?
I don't think they understand dementia at all.
Right, okay.
So it does help if they've got to gen up on dementia before they see us.
Right. Can I ask, in what ways do you think they don't understand about dementia? Are there any particular things that you feel that way about?
They think that we are we don't remember things, and that's all it's about.
And yourself, Keith, Michael, Martin, sorry.
Because to me, I can't understand. Or I'm quite surprised how many doctors go throughout their life in a surgery, thinking that dementia is just a memory and
forgetting.
There's so much goes with it as well, you can't sit down to the doctors, unfortunately, because at that particular time when they were training and such, the mind wasn't much about dementia at that particular time, So again, we're very, very fortunate here in Swale, is because we have what we call dementia.
Coordinators.
Coordinators, and what they're doing now, they're now working with the doctors, and they're able to tell the doctors a lot more about dementia. So I think that's a good step, especially in for Swale. That is really good, but like I say, again, what it needs, like I say, education. That's what it is.
Fantastic. I completely agree. That is one of the fundamental goals of our programme, is to encourage our students, who are all health and social care professionals, to think about how they come into contact with people with dementia in exactly these kind of ways. So, Martin, how about yourself?
My opinion is that doctors and some health professionals still think that dementia is an old person's disease. I know I'm only 67. So I was a bit diagnosed 7 years ago. I was only 60. People are just learning that it can affect you at a younger age.
Yeah.
Because age UK have always had the stigma of older people. Now they're catching for 40 plus, which is why they have walking football and walking cricket and swimming for the younger person.
So things are improving, I think it sounds like, a little bit, maybe from a low base, but from hearing the three of you, it does sound like there are some improvements that are happening, although it sounds like there's a long way to go as well.
Yeah. The thing is, the best way that they can that we can be supported is for them to talk to us.
Yeah.
Not the disease.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we can help them to understand. You know, because as I say, they have it on the textbooks and such as. We're living with it. So really, at the end of the day, we're the experts.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. You know, so like I say to me, the professional health and professional, right, talk to the person, not to the disease.
Mm-hmm. Great. And Pam, I don't know if there's anything you'd just like to add to that about how health and social care professionals might be able to support your quality of life better.
Just talk to people. It is very important to get a habit of talking. I find it helps me. Most of the time, I don't agree with just ignoring people that have got dementia.
Mm-hmm.
That is the worst thing that they can do.
Yes, yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with you there. Right, okay, well, I'm aware of time. We've been talking for a good half an hour. So I'll bring this podcast recording with Pam, with Keith and with Martin from the Dementia Pathfinders to a close. So I will just say thank you, but all three of you, so much to talking to me today and to sharing some of your perspectives with our students. I'm sure our students will find it really interesting, helpful and beneficial to hear the three of you talking about what's important to you around quality of life, and particularly what they as health and social care professionals can do to support other people like yourselves as well. So thank you all so much.
Okay. From the whole of us, I'll just say thank you for listening.
No problem. That's what we're paid for. That's what we try to do.
It's good because it's good for us to air our views and touch us, and for someone like yourself to listen to. Mm-hmm. So that's great. So thank you.
Great. No problem. Thank you so much. I'll just stop my recording.